when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, and naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we an hungered, or a thirst, a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And look here with me in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. Two times he said we are confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, we endeavor, that whether we're present with Christ or absent, we may be accepted of Him. It's my subject right here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Judgment seat of Christ. We just read over there where Christ shall come with His holy angels, sit on His throne of glory, every nation be brought before Him. Everybody's going to be brought before Him. Every nation that ever existed, every person that ever existed, when the resurrection takes place, that's when the judgment's going to come. Some people say going to be a judgment here and a judgment there. There's going to be one judgment. One judgment, general judgment. You cannot find any more judgments than one in this Bible. And there's going to be a judgment of everyone who ever lived. The dead shall be raised to face the things written in the book. And I'll tell you, look over in Revelations, keep this, and just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. In Revelations 20, look here in verse 11 and 12. You know, and that's why Solomon, the wise man, the preacher, told the youth, young man, says, You remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, for He's going to bring everything into judgment, even the secrets things of men will He bring to judgment. So remember thy Creator, because He's going to bring what you've done in secret to judgment. And look what He says here in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, Same one that was over in Matthew 25. And him that sat on it, from whose faith the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now these are spiritually dead. They've been raised from the dead, but they're still spiritually dead. Small and great stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so where's going to be this judgment? And our Lord Jesus Christ has said over in 2 Thessalonians that our Lord said this. This is what Paul said about our Lord. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear in flaming fire with his holy angels. Holy angels. Bringing, destroying by his very presence those and bringing into judgments those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't obey the gospel. And a general judgment is plain from the Word of God. And our Lord said over there there'd be a separation. Going to be a great separation that's going to come. The chaff's going to be separated from the wheat. The sheep from the goats. The tares from the wheat. The lost from the saved. Those that are alive in Christ and those that are not in Christ. Even here in our government, we have trials for people that's broken the law and has not done what they should. They have trials. And they have trials in this world. And there's people are tried for the crimes that they've done. But there's difference in what men go through in this world and what God will do there. God will be absolutely perfectly just in His judgment. Perfectly just. And we look at the things that's going on in our present state of things right now, in our present world. God's people, we're obscure. There's nobody knows us. Nobody pays any attention to us. Nobody. Even folks around here don't pay any attention to us. They pay attention to the churches that's worth millions of dollars and pack it out. But we're obscure people. We're nobodies. We suffer often. How many people we know right now, personally, that we know that are suffering? Suffering. Suffering in their bodies. Suffering in their minds and hearts and souls over what some member of their family is going through. Suffering. Gary, and that's to him he wrote today. And yet, when we look around, the wicked, they prosper. They're billionaires, millionaires. They get by with everything. They thrive, they prosper. It's like Job sitting among the ashes. That's all they think about us. But here's a verse. Verse 10, that tells us of the judgment. And I pray that God will enable me to speak well and deal with this honestly. And I pray that you will listen better than I can speak. Now here's the first thing. Who is it? Who are they that will have to appear before this throne of judgment, this judgment seat of Christ? What does this say? We must all appear. All of us. We must all appear. A-L-L. All of us. Everybody. This was written centuries and centuries and centuries ago. And you can go to Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66, and you can find almost the same thing. But we must all appear. Everyone. The whole human race will one day appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And even the saints, the children of God, won't be exempted. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm one of them. I'm one of them all. The apostle here is speaking to the Lord's people. That's who he's talking to. He said, we walk by faith. So he's talking to them. He's talking to people that would rather be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord than to be here right now. And he said, that's what we endeavor. We pray to win Christ. We pray to be found in Christ. We want to be found in His righteousness, not our own. And that's what He means, whether we're right now, in the present, to be accepted of Him, or whether we're absent from this body, we want to be accepted of Him. And so we all want to be accepted. That's why I said we're confident. And we must all appear, all of us must appear. And oh my, in Revelation, what I read to you in Matthew 25, all are there. All are there. Well, we thought that the sins of the righteous are forever blotted out, cast behind the back of God, cast into the depths of the sea, hid behind the clouds, put away forever, that they should never come to judgment. Well, they are. They are. All the righteous sins are blotted out. They don't have those sins. And that's why, beloved, we don't fear the judgment. When I read that, that don't tear me up. That don't scare me. I'm not afraid of this judgment. I'm not. But if you're not in Christ, you ought to be afraid. And I tell you, that's what we're talking about. We're going to stand there, and we're going to hear the Lord say what He said to His sheep. He said, the Lord stood on His throne and had His sheep. And we're going to hear Him say, they're acquitted. There's no charges against these people. The great judge Himself, sitting on His throne, is going to say, acquitted, no charge. Is anybody here that knows Christ want God to sneak them into heaven? You want them to bypass the judgment and be taken into glory? Huh? Be taken there unlawfully, snuck in the back door? No. Who wants to hear? And this is what would happen if we didn't have to go to the judgment. The damned in hell would say, oh, listen, you were tried like we were. If you had been, you would have been condemned with the rest of us. That's what he'd have to say. But oh, what a blessed hope we have. We can stand the trial. We can stand before the judge of all the earth. We can stand before God Himself. Stand before this judgment seat of Christ. And we stand there. We'll stand there not in ourselves, but in the righteousness of Christ. We'll stand there, beloved. Christ will so bring the trial and bring the test. And you know what will become says, who is he that condemns? It's God that justifies us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Listen to what the answer comes back. It's Christ that died. Who did he die for? The sheep, God's elect. Did he stay dead? No, he rather's risen again. Show that the sins are gone. Well, where's he at now? Sitting on the throne. Oh my. And this trial will reveal this about everybody that trusts Christ. That we'll understand, and the whole world will understand, that everything that was done for us in this world when we faced God was because of Christ and the grace of God given us in Christ. That's why we're not afraid to face this trial. We must all appear. What an assembly. What a great assembly. Oh my. A whole gathering of the whole human race. And the first two parents, they're going to be there. Adam and Eve, they're going to be there. And they're going to see all the whole human race. All the people that they populated the earth with in themselves. They'll see all their children. And they'll also see what their sin brought to the human race. The condemnation and guilt and damnation he brought. Oh my. There'll be the captains, the kings. David will be there. Solomon will be there. Hezekiah will be there. Every king, everybody that amounted to anything in this world, they'll all be there. Nebuchadnezzar will be there. Everybody that existed before the flood will be there. The Roman Empire and all the Caesars, they'll all be there. All the popes, all the cardinals, they're meeting over there now. Do you see all them fellas with them little red beanie hats on? Little red beanie hats. And that pope, he wears white all the time, white and gold. You know why? Because he's supposed to be better than everybody else. There's only been one person as worthy as dressing in white, and he has a countenance that's glistening like the sun, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my. And every preacher, and I'm a preacher, I'll be there. Huh? And the judge who sits on the throne will stand there to be judged. And all will stand there. Do you know what they'll be standing there like? Like a common man. There'll be nobody when they stand there. Huh? The poorest and the richest. And the servant, when he stands there, will be as great as his master. Be no difference in him. That person that waits on the king and him will be no difference in him. Huh? No one can stand up and say, "Well, I claim immunity." Why? Well, because I have all this wealth. I've got all this power. I've got all this influence. And I think I ought to be immune. Well, that's what those folks said, you know, that when our Lord Jesus Christ said, they was condemned because they said, "We did all these things for you. We did all these things for you. So we ought to be immune. We cast out devils in your name. We preached in your name. We done all kinds of things in your name." But he said, "When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me nothing to drink. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me." He said, "Oh, when did we do all these things?" They were shocked that they... He said, "Oh, you never done it to anybody. You're too busy worried about your own righteousness, worried about your own works, worried about how good you was in other people's eyes." He said, "Oh, everybody, there'll be no power, there'll be no influence, there'll be no wealth will influence his court. All will stand alike." You know who will be there? Old Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He'll be there. Huh? Demas, who sold our Lord Jesus Christ for the world. Pilate, who washed his hands, said, "I'll be done with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be done with this Christ right now. I'm going to wash my hands of this mess." Pilate will be there. And they'll all receive the judgment at the hands of the Almighty. And the just damnation that they have coming. Did you notice I said just damnation? There won't be nobody damned. Unjustly. Not one soul. Not one person. But what a scene. What a scene. And you know what blesses my heart? I'm going to be there too. I'm going to be standing there with the rest of that. Rest of them people. Huh? Oh my. Every one of us. You'll be there. I'll be there. We'll all be there. All of us will be there. And you know what we'll have to do? We'll have to appear. You ever had a summons to appear in court? You've ever had a summons to have to go to court? Ever had a summons that you had to be in a trial? Well, this is going to be a summons that you can't get a lawyer and say, "Well, listen, I want you to deal with this." Ain't going to be no... When he summons you, you coming. And there'll be no disguises here. No disguises. There'll be no pretense here. There'll be no mask. There'll be no sham. We'll come and we must appear. And when that word appear, what it means is seen through, displayed, revealed. When we appear, we're seen through. We're on display. And we'll be revealed. And off will come off all these sorry garments that you've had. All of our garments will come off. And your spirit, who you really are, will be judged of God. Not as we appear here. Not as we appear here. But as we appear there. He'll look on the inward heart. Inward heart. That's where you'll look. And what a day. What a day. Whenever man, now listen to me, whenever man shall see himself as he really is. God already sees him as he is, but he'll see himself as he really is that day. Well, who's going to be the judge? Well, it says here, we're going to be before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Let me say a few things about this. Could you pick a better judge? Could God set a better man on the throne than him? Could there be a more blessed judge? Could there be a more glorious judge? Could there be a more just judge? Could there be a more righteous judge than our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, the Lord God Himself shall judge men, but it'll be through the person and by the person of Jesus Christ, the man sitting on that throne. And here's the thing about why it's so right, and He's the best judge of all, and the most glorious judge of all. Man will be judged by man. A sinless man. A perfect man. The God-man. They who once judged him and all brought all kinds of judgments against him. He said, that's why he said they're going to try to hide from him. Don't you know that those Pharisees and those priests and them that condemned and mistreated our Lord Jesus Christ, don't you know that they're going to try to hide? And he said, oh, you're going to have to appear before me. How you reckon they'll feel? And here's the thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows what man should be. Should be. Why? Because he was a man. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows what it is to be tempted. Knows what it is to be tried. He lived under God's law and lived under God's whole Sinai for 33 and a half years, and he done it with deep, deep humility. So he was a man. He was tempted in all points like we are. There ain't no temptation you've been through that Christ wasn't tempted with. But he didn't have sin. Not us. And oh my, he'll be able to administer the law in the highest authority. Because he upheld it. And he magnified it. And you know they have this picture of justice. She's always... You know, she's got blindfolds over so she can't see. She's got a scale of justice in her hand. Supposed to not, you know, justice is supposed to be blind. But it's not. Not in this world it ain't. But our Lord, and it won't be that way in the next one either. Our Lord Jesus Christ can hold the scales of justice evenly. He stood in man's place. Could there be a more blessed, glorious, holy, righteous, just judge than the Lord Jesus Christ? He knows you. And I'll tell you something else about him. And this really bothers me in this world. I see it happen all the time. People get showed favoritism in this world. They do. There's people that ought to be in jail right now. Right now, they got by because of their power, their influence, and somebody that covered up for them. Ought to be in jail, ought to be in prison. And then there's people in prison because they didn't have no power, didn't have no influence, that shouldn't be there because they didn't do anything. Somebody railroaded them. That's the way it is in this world. But I tell you one thing, when we face him, there'll be no favoritism. No favor. I won't get no favor. No favor treating. You say, well, that's my friend sitting on the judge. What would you like it in this world if your friend sat on the bench and he treated you better than he did somebody else? So you see, when we face the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't be friends. There won't be no favoritism, because that would be unjust. He couldn't treat us right. He couldn't treat us that way. He couldn't treat us that way. There's no partiality that's going to be said here. There's no reason for anybody to expect favoritism. And he died, and he'll deal out even-handed justice. And this is what's so blessed about Christ being the judge. He'll never be accused, of overlooking. I'm going to overlook that one. I'm going to overlook this one. I'm going to overlook what that one done. And then he'll go over here and say, well, I've seen this one do this thing, and I've seen that other do this. So he's not going to overlook some and find guilt in others. He couldn't do that. That wouldn't be just, would it? That wouldn't be right judgment. From this court and this judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no appeal. If he says, curse it, like he did those goats, cursed, you'll be cursed forever. Cursed for everlasting. If he says, bless it, then you're going to be blessed forever and ever and ever. Huh? Well, what's going to be the rule of this judgment? Well, look at it says there, that everyone may receive the things done, the things in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And when he talks about the things done in this body, what have we done with this body? You know, we sin with the mind and with the heart and with the motive. But when this sin is fulfilled, it works through the body. And that's why I said what's done in this body. Our actions. Our actions. And our actions will be evidence. Oh my goodness. Whew. You won't face the Lord for the things you've done? Well, we're going to. We're not going to face Him for our professions. We're not going to face Him for our professions. Oh, there's lots of folks got lots of professions. We're not going to face Him for our boastings and all of our accomplishments and all of our dedication and all of our works. We're not going to face Him because we've been faithful. But we're going to face Him for our actions. And the scripture says here that every man shall receive the things done in his body. Done in the body. The Pharisee is going to receive what's done in all of them. When he stood off by himself and prayed and said, I thank thee, O Father, that I'm not like this man over here. I thank thee that I fast twice in the week, that I'm not an adulterer, I'm not, you know, and named all the things he wasn't. He's going to be there. And that publican who said, oh Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, he's going to be there. Huh? The hypocrite's going to be there. And I tell you what, you can take something here and you can paint it up, put some veneer on it, put some varnish on it, polish it up. But God, with one look, will strip it off. I tell you something. Give you a little illustration. All of us have went to funerals. And you know how funeral businesses stay in business? They make dead people look like they're laying there asleep. They make them look like all they are is asleep. They put makeup on them, get their hair just right, put the jewelry on them, put a necktie on the man, dress him up, but he's dead. And that's what this world does. That's what hypocrisy does. That's what false profession does. They're just dressed up. Dead. Painted up. Veneer on them. Religions made them feel good about themselves. Religions made them feel wonderful about themselves. Ah. But oh my. Things may look good here. Look really good. But boy, when God gets through with it. What we did. And what we didn't do. And what we should have done. People think, you know, if I didn't do that, then I'll be all right. But there's some things you should have done. And there's some things you should have left off. And that's why the Lord condemned those goats. The difference between the goats and the sheep, was, you know what the difference was? When our Lord told the sheep, said, everything that you know you did for me, you did for me. And the first thing they said, Lord, when in the world did we ever do anything? When did we ever do anything? We've done nothing. Anybody here feel like they've done anything for the glory of Christ? They feel like that they have absolutely treated the Lord's people perfectly and lovingly and kind and graciously? Anybody here that's been a believer for 30 years, 40 years, 10 years, 5 years, do you feel like you've really done something? Accomplished anything? That's why they said, Lord, when in the world did we ever do these things? But the hypocrite, the goat, turns around and said, oh, when did we not do these things? That's all we did was done things. We went to the soup kitchen and dumped out food for the poor. Somebody's house burnt down. I went through my closet and got a bunch of old sorry clothes that I ain't wore forever and carried them over there and gave them to them. Oh my. They was condemned for what they didn't do. And the sheep, all they said, we didn't do anything. See the difference? Words, idle words, thoughts that produced our actions, thoughts that produced our motives, our heart sins. And people say, who in the world can be saved in a situation like this? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. All who believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I've committed unto Him everything unto Him. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep it. All believed on Christ. All who've trusted Him. What do you trust Him for? Trust Him as my Savior. I need a Savior. I've got to have a Savior. I need saving. I need saving from my flesh. I need saving from my sin. I need saving from my thoughts. I need saving from my motives. I need saving from my doings. And I need saving from my not doings. I need a Savior. And I only know of one Savior that can do that. And that's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That one who came into this world to establish a righteousness for a people that didn't have one. To establish a righteousness for a people that were naked and blind and helpless and hopeless and unable to do anything for themselves. And He came and said, Father, all that You've given me, they believe the Word. They believe me. They've come to me. And they said, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. And they'll say, "Oh, Father, take their sin, take their guilt, take their iniquities, take everything that's against them and put it on my account." And then when it's on my account, judge me, punish me, save me, satisfy your justice in me. Oh, they'll all come forward. And though all of us have many sins that we might plead guilty to, they'll be able to say, and our Lord Jesus Christ will concur with them, "Our great and glorious God, you punished our substitute. You said that if we believed on Him, that if we trusted Him, that you laid our sins on Him. So you told us in your word that we have no sin. That Christ put away, your Son put away sin once in the end of the world by Himself. And He hath perfected forever them that He sanctified. And there is therefore now," right now, "no condemnation, no judgment to them that were in Christ." Oh, that dying thief who rejoiced to see that family in his day, he's going to come forth. And he said, "That man that was hanging beside me that day, now my judge. And he bore my sins away and told me that I was going to be with him that day. And I've been with him all these centuries after centuries." And I'll tell you something else it'll say. These people walk by faith. All these people walk by faith. They walk by faith. They walk by faith in me. No trust in themselves. No hope in themselves. Nobody to look to in themselves. Nobody else. They walk by faith. They walk by faith. They didn't have to see a sign. They didn't have to have any evidence. When they look to themselves, they don't find any. But when they look outside themselves, they find Christ. And they walk by faith in Him. Looking to Him. Oh my. And then they're confident. They're confident people. What are they confident about? That when they're absent from this body, they'll be present with the Lord. Huh? Oh my. What's the object? What's the object of this? The judgment to view is hereafter. Ain't that what it says? According to that he hath done good or bad. Every man receive the things. We're talking about the things that are hereafter. Let me tell you something, beloved. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to give us a reward. Going to give all His sheep a reward. And you know what it is? "Come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Blessed in an eternal covenant of grace. Blessed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed to be washed in the blood. Blessed to be given faith. Blessed to trust Christ. Blessed to believe God's word. Blessed, come you blessed of my Father that gave you to me. Come you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom." Wait a minute. A kingdom. Yeah. You know a king's got to have a kingdom. Inherit the kingdom. Prepared. When was it prepared? Before the foundation of the world. God had us a place to dwell before He ever made the world. Oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. But oh my. But what about those who can't hear Christ to quit them? What about people who don't know Christ, hasn't trusted Christ, who've never believed Christ? They're going to receive the things that they've done, the things that you've done, the things that you've done in your body. That's what you're going to receive. Justly so. Justly so. The punishment will be according to what you've done. You heard the gospel. This is going to be the awfulest condemnation in the world. This is going to be awful. And I don't want nobody that I preach to perish. I don't. God knows I don't. I don't. Listen, God knows that everybody I preach to, I hope and pray and trust that Christ will bring them to Himself. You don't have to wait till you get old. He said, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. If you're 15, 16, 17, 18, you've already sinned enough. The way you rebel against your parents is enough. But you've heard the gospel. You've heard of Christ. He is among you. He was here among us. And yet, you did not believe. You did not believe. What do you think God ought to do if people won't believe on His Son? What do you think He ought to do with them? But look what He says about us. In verse 12, and I'm going to wind this thing up. We commend not ourselves. We don't commend ourselves to you to give you occasion to glory on our behalf. Because we know what the answer to them which glory in appearance. They glory just in appearance. They don't have anything. And then look what He said in verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ. The love of Christ for us constrains us to look to Christ and Christ alone. And may God help you. May God enable all of us to make it our life's business. That's what Paul meant when he said, we labor. We labor. Make it our life's business, our soul's business, to seek after Christ, always seeking after Christ, always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our soul. God made us for that. That's where I want to be found when this is all said and done. When I'm standing out at that judgment seat of Christ. God, look around. There I am. There I stand. But you know where I'll be found? In Christ. That's why when God looks at us, He can't see anything wrong with us. Can't see anything wrong with His Son. That's why I love that it's the judgment seat of Christ. The one who loved me and gave Himself for me. And gave me grace in abundance. That's the one I'm going to face. I'm going to face Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's who I'm going to face. Why fear that? Our Father, the precious, holy, glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for meeting with us today. Thank You for this precious truth, these glorious words, these precious things of Christ. But Lord, there's those who will have to appear in themselves, will have to appear without Christ, will have to appear without any help, without any hope, without a righteousness. Stand there to be condemned, to be punished, to be separated everlastingly from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So God, please, for Christ's sake, save you people in this place. Amen. Amen. You know, most people